not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead, surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. He's roaring, roaring, roaring like a lion. Newsboys, God's not dead. Here on the Bill Bunkley Show. To me, that's the rallying cry for our youngsters who are on college campuses today, right? Amen, amen. Well, I'm back from Tallahassee, and yes, they're still in session today and tomorrow, but I am right here looking at the one, the only Ace Andrews as he is producing the show this afternoon. Good to be back, but we're going to be turning our attention this segment to, well, the Middle East. And that's because you know that I have been calling the alarm for several months now about what's been happening with not only Christians, some of the Yazidis, but the Syrians that have had to flee, those in Iraq that have had to flee. But we're going to focus on something that we need a little grassroots help from you, because our administration, our State Department, is really dragging their feet. Joining me to talk about the situation in Syria and, quite frankly, calling for a declaration of genocide in Syria, my next guest is Mona Malik, and she is the vice president of the Assyrian Aid Society for America. And they were founded in 1991 in San Francisco. And by the way, I'm going to give you a website that you could be jotting down, because we want you to be interactive for this one as well. And, of course, that's why I believe this is one of those divine appointments. Mona, good to have you with us this afternoon.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, introduce your organization to my audience this afternoon. Of course, that is the Assyrian Aid Society of America. Tell us a little bit about how this came to be and what is a part of its charter and purpose.
Okay. So, as you said, Assyrian Aid Society of America was established in 1991, as well as the Assyrian Aid Society of Iraq in northern Iraq, in Duhok, and in Erbil. So it was established just as an answer to the first Gulf War, and when the first Assyrian and all other Christian communities started to flee because of the first Gulf War, and then started the Assyrian Aid Society. Mm. And right now, when you introduced me, we are... the letter that we have sent to Secretary Kerry is to ask him to declare genocide in Iraq and Syria, not just in Syria, where ISIS is committing all the atrocities everywhere in that region.
Well, let's look at a definition first. I know that we have had the discussion about genocide here, but so everyone can sort of get a mental picture and know exactly how serious this is. How would you describe a genocide?
Okay. So it's already in the UN Convention, which is an Article 2 of the Genocide Convention. It is the killing of members of a group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, imposing measures intended, even the intention, to prevent births within the group, and forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. All these, one or all of them, account that this is, in fact, genocide. Yet the State Department has asked for more proof, and that's what our letter and our research and testimonies that were gathered for today's press conference that was held at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. by the Knights of Columbus and IDC in defense of Christians. And all this culminated into our asking for a declaration of genocide. So we're positive that after all this work for the last couple of months, gathering testimonies and gathering all the research in our 37-page letter to Secretary Kerry, will result in a declaration of genocide. So the important part is what happens afterwards.
Mm. Mona Malik, why has not, of course, the United States is a major player, but they're not the only player, even on the Security Council. Uh-huh. Why has there been either resistance or what is behind the scenes that this declaration could trigger, triggering UN Article 2 of the Genocide Convention? Why is it that we're having to do such a big push here? Why would they not just have already done this?
I mean, I don't want to speak for why they're not doing it, why they're dragging their feet. I mean, there are a number of reasons. One is that the first genocide has never been accepted as genocide, which is the 1915 Armenian, Assyrian, and Greek genocide.
Oh, yeah, That's the historic one, yes.
Okay, historic one, right? Mm-hmm. That's one. The other thing is they're declaring genocide triggers actions, as you mentioned. And actions mean financial assistance and financial help. So it has to do with politics. It also means blame. So whatever country this genocide is happening in, that insinuates blame of that administration of that country, right? So it's all those things. It's political, it's financial, it's historical, and I don't want to guess which one that, you know, maybe it's all of them, you know, is the problem.
All right. By the way, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the voice of Mona Malik. She is the vice president of the Assyrian Aid Society of America. And if you are by your home or your office PC, go right now to AssyrianAid.org, AssyrianAid.org, all one word. Do that on your smartphone as well, but don't do it while you're driving, please. So what I understand this letter would be, since Secretary Kerry has sort of put up this resistance that he needs more information, what I understand is part of this letter and the backup and this nationwide push is to fully expose that here's all the facts, there's more facts than what you need, it's time to act. Would I be kind of close to sort of pinning what this is all about?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what the letter was about, today's press conference, you know, all the push that's been going on. So I'm positive that this, you know, this will do the trick. And but we can't just sit, you know, comfortably and say, okay, our job is done. Yeah, everybody go back home to their comfort zone. The majority of the work still needs to be done. There's still so much to be done, and that is to make sure that the appropriate actions need to be taken, right? And that is including representatives from our community to participate in the decision-making. So the powers that be who will make these decisions need to include our community, representatives from our community who have our best interests at heart.
Mm. By chance, Mona, do you have sort of the latest estimates of the number of Christians? And again, we're focusing on the Christians, but my audience knows that we've talked about the Yazidis and the Kurds and anyone mm-hmm. that has been this genocide. But we have a Christian audience here. And, of course, we have these not only the refugees that have moved through Turkey, but we've got the refugee camps. Just how many Christians do you know are estimated that we're trying to take this next step to get a handle and to head, you know, tackle this problem head on?
So it's been really difficult to estimate numbers because census haven't been taken for many years because of the conflict in that region. But approximates are in 2003, there were 1.5 million Assyrian Christians. When I'm saying Assyrian Christians, I'm including all the Christians there, the Chaldeans, the Syriacs, the Church of the East. And now the estimates are anywhere from 300 to 350,000, which is at a very dangerous level of being close to extinction.
And some of these folks, of course, we have been seeing the burgeoning problem at various borders when it comes to Turkey and Greece and, of course, into Western Europe. But I want to remind our audience that some of the refugee camps, I know, I think the one there just across the border and from Israel and Jordan, I think that has been some folks have been living there, what, about 2 years in tents?
Oh, yes, well, it's been we're getting close to 2 years now. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
it's unbelievable that it's gone on this long.
That's the point I want to make. I want to make my audience. How would you like to have been living in a tent with the seasons and no food at times and everything? 2 years this has been going on, but yet Secretary Kerry and this administration continue to say, at least up to today, we don't have enough information. So that lets you know why we're doing this nationwide grassroots effort to try and make a difference. Now,
right.
What will, how long do you think it will take? In other words, if we were successful with today's push and people getting behind your organization, we'll tell folks how to do that in a moment. Is this a 30-day, 60-day? How long do you think, are you hopeful on the short end that we can get the secretary to make this formal declaration?
Well, supposedly, there is this magic date of March 17th where a decision should be made. So I don't think it's that, you know, we're far from it. So we're hoping for that. I'm not sure, what happens exactly on that date. But, you know, we haven't stopped. We are now on a campaign to write letters to the president himself to bring attention to it and to encourage Secretary Kerry to go in that direction of declaring genocide. So we think it's not that far away. You know, the date isn't that far away.
All right. In a moment, get your pencil ready. We'll give you an idea on how you can help the Assyrian Aid Society of America, not just with the declaration, but, of course, they certainly have been engaged with their fellow countrymen and countrywomen who have been definitely at the tip of the sword on this. But just so I get a picture, let's say that the secretary by the 17th of March makes a decision that he needs to make, and in fact, genocide is declared. After that, you know, very important step is taken. What happens next? And not only on a macro level, but also on a micro level, what happens to what you're going to be doing there at the Assyrian Aid Society?
Okay. So we've already had meetings in D.C. to discuss some of these options and how Assyrian Aid Society of America, in conjunction with our sister organization of Assyrian Aid Society of Iraq, how would we coordinate, let's say, aid and work and infrastructure and rehabilitation, security, and return of the IDPs and refugees to their homes and to their lands. So because we've been there since established since 1991, Assyrian Aid Society of Iraq has experts and people who know every inch of that area of Iraq and the Khabur area of Syria. So we're very capable of rebuilding, guiding infrastructure, rehabilitation and returning people to their homes. And hopefully the ones that have even left the country will be encouraged to do that as well.
All right. Let's just hypothetically say for the next 7 days, this is the 10th day of March, this sort of artificial deadline for however it is of March 17th is 7 days away. What can my audience be doing right now to help you and your organization over the next 7 days?
Okay. Other than financial aid, which you can go to donate now on our website, you can use PayPal and or other ways. Other than donations, you can write to your elected representatives to encourage this declaration of genocide and to help the indigenous Assyrian minority Christians and other minorities there to return back to their indigenous homes. Basically, we're looking at a similar plan to the Marshall Plan in World War II.
And go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, let me say this. You know, been a lot of discussion with all of these refugees and the question whether we bring thousands of refugees to America to resettle or we try to get them resettled in their own land. I want to tell you that, you know, I'm one that where I hate to see an entire people group be displaced because to me, God has them as a people group for a reason. And so for those of you particularly who would like to see us help the Syrians who have been displaced to help them in the areas where they are at and to help, you know, get this thing under ISIS under control so that one day they can be resettled in the lands that has been taken from them by the sword. You know, your assistance to the Assyrian Aid Society, and again, that website is AssyrianAid.org. That is one way where you can purposefully, if that's your heart, help them to help the folks there in the region first to get stable, and number two, to help them get reestablished in their land and help them to rebuild their societies. And remember, we're talking particularly about Christians. Other groups are involved, but keep in mind that we're talking about helping our brothers and sisters in Christ in that area. So anything else? So we got about a minute left, Amona. Anything else we could emphasize other than your website of what people can do to help?
I am just very encouraged that you are mentioning this method of approach of helping us to stay in our homelands, because when we are down to a very dangerous level of 300 to 350,000 in our homeland, in our indigenous lands, where we have been for over 4,000 years, this is not just, and we were the first group of people to adopt Christianity and to spread it around the world. It is a whole culture, a whole ethnicity that is being expunged from the area, which means the language of Jesus, the Aramaic language, which is still spoken now, which has been spoken for over 4,000 years there, will cease to exist, will cease to be heard. So if you evacuate, as some people want to do, all the Christians, all the Assyrian Christians from there, they will assimilate in the host countries, and the language will cease to exist in about two generations. Mm. And the only place you'll know or you'll read about Assyrians is in museums. So if we know all this, if we know all the signs of extinction, and we have an Office of Prevention of Genocide in the United Nations, why doesn't it trigger action to be taken so we prevent this from happening?
Well, I could answer that, but I'd rather hold my tongue. That way we don't get too in the weeds with the politics. But it may have a little bit to do with the fact that these are Christians. But that is a editorial comment on my part, certainly not one on behalf of the Assyrian Aid Society of America, because they are just interested in stabilizing their folks in the region and getting them back in. I know their heart, if they could just stay away from all the politics and just help their people, that's where they want to be. So if you would be so inclined, get your resources out that actually God owns and you're just a manager. If you would like to help them help the Syrians, and I got to tell you, every time you see one of those antiquities being destroyed by ISIS, in addition to the beheadings and all the other situation, this is what we are trying to get stabilized. And the first step is to call it what it is, Mr. President, to call it what it is, Mr. Secretary, and that is genocide, and to lead in the United Nations as a lead host country who does most of the funding for the UN to support this move in a UN Article 2 charter move on this genocide question, and let's get this thing done. Mona, we got to go, but again, thank you so much for bringing this to light today, and I ask my audience to pray for you and your organization to get funded and to be a difference in getting this signed, and let's help your people.
Thank you very, very much, and God bless.
God bless you. All right, that is Mona Malik, and she is the Vice President of the Assyrian Aid Society of America. Hey, check out this website, AssyrianAid.org, AssyrianAid.org, especially some of you who, you know, have the gift of giving, because have you been blessed to check them out and call your senators and your representatives. A lot of them are on spring break right now. You can still call their offices, email them, write them. Let them know that we have not forgotten this ancient people, some of the earliest peoples who were followers of Christ. I'm Bill Bunkley. Going to take a quick time out. We'll talk about spiritual death and physical death with Dr. Marsha Wicks on Theology Thursday. Don't go away. That's coming up next.